Thank you, Claire. So we're going to spend the next few weeks, as Robert began us last week, and I'll continue, on the most important theme of prayer. But before we get into it this morning and the teachings of our Lord on the subject of prayer, let me ask His blessings on us. Let's pray together. We do unite our hearts, O God, acknowledging our need for a work of Your Spirit, that You might help us understand truth. So we ask, Holy Spirit, You would come, encourage us and strengthen our faith, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we think of our nation, actually, if we set our minds to it, we could come up with a lot of problems. And there's no political solution to it, to where we are. There is no political or new social program that's going to make the difference that we need. It is not sufficient. And when I think of the church, in general in America, it seems to me the world is changing the church instead of the church changing the world. And that's a problem. That is a problem. But I'm not here to doom and gloom. I'm here to give us a realistic assessment of the situation that will do this, that will bring us to understand three words. We need God. We need God. That is, we need God and we need prayer. We need God. We need prayer. And that is the theme that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. And as we've done for several Sundays now, we have gone back to the beginning to see the Christian church in its fundamental elements, its basic discipleship, the basic pattern and elements of the early church, their discipline and their devotion. And remember, Acts 2, verse 42, kind of summarizes their devotion. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Now, of course, as we've also discovered, and we know, there is a devotion that is foundational and fundamental to the Christian faith, the one who went to the cross, the one who came out of the tomb and ascended on high. There's this exalted view of Jesus that we hold, and it leads us to worship Him. And we also have a high view of Scripture, such a high view of Scripture that it governs our lives, and it certainly governs our theology, our doctrines. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, and that is vital Christianity. Vital Christianity includes these marks: devotion to Christ, devotion to His Word, devotion to one another, and devotion to prayer. Now, of course, prayer, it seems, fits in all of this. That is, we devote ourselves to Christ in prayer. We prayerfully study the Scripture. Only the Holy Spirit can open our eyes. We pray for one another. It is the chief means of grace in which we can bless one another. So prayer is the prayer institute. Maybe you've heard of this. It's advertised as an intensive in-person course in which registrants receive 7 2-hour sessions. This is in Atlanta, Georgia. They also receive a tote bag, a binder, a prayer shawl, and a sacred anointing oil. They will also participate in a Q&A with the pastor at the end of each session. Upon completion of the course, you get a certificate. And all of this is included for $1,499. It had an original price tag of $1,999, but the pastor generously and graciously gave the discount. The course is set to begin October the 6th, so you still have time. Now, I'm not against prayer institutes. I'm not against training sessions and so forth. to help us understand and to encourage us to pray. And so that's what we're going to be doing over several weeks. Now, Luke, who wrote Acts and wrote, of course, his own gospel, the Gospel of Luke, would often give details of the personal prayer life of the Lord Jesus. And so it's not surprising to see him giving these details to the prayer life of the early church as well. Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, the early church in Acts. And here's a couple of examples. Acts 1 and verse 14, at the very beginning, all but these who were in one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. That's the same word used in chapter 2, devotion. They were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And then when it comes to the apostles and the early pastoral leaders of the church, it says in Acts 6, 4, it's of prayer. In the early church, their devotion to it. Now, what are some reasons that prayer is important? Now, we could come up with a long list, but I'm going to give you just a few. I think we probably instinctively know these as true. Prayer creates a sense of absolute dependence upon God. For salvation from sin, for all spiritual blessings and really material blessings as well, we are humbled before God as our source, as our ultimate source of all things good. So prayer teaches us our need and our dependence upon Him as our source. Prayer is also the chief means by which we can know God, as the Bible says, face to face. It is in prayer that we come face to face with God. Promise, He will draw near to you. A third important reason for prayer is that prayer promotes purity. As Bruce was mentioning earlier, God is holy. And there's something about coming into the presence of a holy God that promotes or prompts purity in our own heart. And if it doesn't, there's something that needs to be understood further theologically about prayer. We're in the presence of a holy God. It promotes the necessity of our own purity and repentance of sin. Prayer also helps us to come into harmony with God's will. We just prayed together, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's a prayer, asking God for his will to be done in my life and in our world. And so prayer helps us come in alignment with God's will. Prayer is the chief means of doing that. I'm telling you, when someone tells me they're praying for me and they really mean it, you know how we can do the other part, you know, just kind of say it and move on. But when it's really done, I'm telling you, that's like gold. When you know someone is lifting you up before God. Prayer is also the one way, and I would say the chief way, that we are co-laborers with God and the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. The power of prayer to turn souls to Christ. The power of prayer in the affairs of nations. The healing of a marriage. The healing of a body. The spreading of the gospel. I mean, all of these are components or aspects of one's prayer life. It is the way that we code for us, his church, and the world. So we join Christ in a prayer ministry that he continues. So it is, for me personally, it is important that I preach. It is important that I commit myself, devote myself to the apostles' teachings. But it is just as important that I pray. Would you agree with that? Amen? It's just as important that we devote ourselves to prayer and to the Word. So that's the importance of prayer. Let me say a few words about personal prayer now, as that's kind of a subject, personal prayer. Let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with your prayer life? Now, we all have seasons of difficulty in prayer, don't we? Now, if you don't need any improvement in your prayer life, well, just pray for the rest of us, because we do. saying we're always growing in our prayer life. For the little ones, we teach them to pray early, maybe before dinner or before they go to sleep. We're teaching our little ones how to pray. Middle school prayers and high school prayers may be different as well. I remember in middle school, man, I prayed over some tests that the teacher laid in front of my desk. I prayed that I could get a date with this girl as well. There are many different prayers. And then when we become adults, there are so many thousands of things in our minds, it's almost overwhelming to bring them all before God and even to know how to pray with so many things that get in our minds. And we often pray, tell me if this is right, from crisis to crisis or from crisis to despair. And it's the power of life that can so put us in its grasp that it moves us to prayer. And that's okay, because this world can be the power of the Holy Spirit moves us to prayer. I'm going to say another word about that in just a minute. It's the Holy Spirit who touches our hearts, prompts and promotes prayer within us. Love and devotion can bring us to prayer as well. I'm talking about personal prayer. And it is time for us, I think, this is a sense of growing up in our prayer lives, to go past just the give me and bless me prayers. Now, there's nothing wrong with give me and bless me prayers, for the most part. But prayer is more than that. It's more than just bringing our list to God. Prayer is communication. Prayer is speaking and listening. There's some basic teachings of Jesus on this that speak to the personal nature of prayer. I mean, how many parents know the feeling? And we must understand and build that. All right, let's look at some basic teachings of prayer. We're going to move through this quickly, that Jesus gives us, that Claire read in Matthew chapter 6. Some basic prayer notes. Jesus said this. This is Matthew 6:6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, what is their reward? Being seen by others, and everybody looking at them and saying, look at that. Look how spiritual this person is. Now, this may not be a temptation to you, because you may pass out if you had to pray in front of people. But the deeper meaning of what Jesus is teaching here is this: motive is important. Your motive is important. There's no substitute for authenticity before God. Be authentic before Him. He knows everything anyway. We must be authentic before Him. Part of Him, our nature, our hearts. We must be natural before Him as we pray. Look at verse 7. Jesus said that when you go pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So, the reward of God instead of the reward of man. But notice, motive is important, but location is important in this sense. There's no substitute for being alone with God. Now, I know that there are times where it's almost impossible for us to be alone. And some people don't even like to be alone. But there's really no substitute for having those moments with God, however long they may be, when it's just us and Him. That's why Jesus says, shut the door. That is, remove the distractions and come with me. You know, one great need in your life, right? And then Jesus says, verses 7 to whatever verse this is. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So, in this sense, method is important. In other words, we're not just here to ramble before God or say something over and over and over and over and over again and think it builds up some kind of prayer points that God will bless. Prayer credits, I guess, with the amount of words. Louder, longer praying doesn't always help. Now, there's nothing wrong with repeating things. Jesus repeated a prayer 3 times, if you remember. But what this is speaking of is some kind of magic to prayer. If we say it enough, if we come before Him enough and say the same thing, maybe some kind of magic. And I want to read to you the junk. Do y'all get junk emails? I mean, we're not getting as much as we used to, maybe, hopefully. But here's one I received. Do you yearn for a glorious life filled with love, peace, and abundance? Yeah. Here's a magical four-sentence prayer that unleashes a waterfall of blessings. Click here to find out more. It says, you'll be like an angel in flight. It says, let the pit where you are be filled with blessings. Drawn out of the pit. Best of all, this is backed by both science and the supernatural. Are you starting to get inspired yet? Best wishes to you. P.S. All I can say is it helped this overworked, frazzled mother of three to win the lottery. All $97,500 of the lottery. Get stuck in this way. Prayer is about relationship with God. And we don't get stuck on our list. We want a growing relationship with God. There are times where when nothing is said, those are the best times. When I just need to be alone with Him and to know His presence without saying anything. Now, we all have our honey-do list, or some of us do for our spouses, but we must communicate at a deeper level than a honey-do list, and that's prayer. Devotion is important. Notice what Jesus said three times in our passage. When you pray, when you pray, when you pray, not if. Now, a final thought on corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. So, this was a praying church. They devoted themselves to the prayers. There's the great passage. They devoted themselves to the prayers. There are some things that God's help, and that's where prayer comes in. And the word here in the Greek is the prayers. Prosuke is the word. And it has the definite article, the prayers. That is to say, there was a corporate time when they met together for prayer. Kind of like what we do here on a Sunday morning. At 11 o'clock, this is a corporate time when we send our praises to Him and our prayer needs. We come together to worship and to pray. And that's what they did. Now, if there are three themes that you can do a Bible study in the book of Acts, these are the three themes. The Holy Spirit, prayer, and bold witness. If you follow those themes throughout the 28 chapters of Acts, you'll find them all there. The Holy Spirit doing His work based on the praying of the corporate church of Christ and the bold witness that became the result of the prayer and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the church needs today. Of the church, connecting us to God, connecting us to the work of Christ in the world. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, one aspect of this is an understanding of prayer. If a common Jewish practice in the first century was if you didn't have a temple or a tabernacle to pray in, well, you would pray beside, if you could find it, running water, because running water represented life. So you'd pray beside this life-giving water from God. Well, Jesus is saying here, it is the Spirit in the heart flowing rivers of living water. He said this about the Spirit whom those who believed in Him were to receive. And then Romans 8:26, too deep for words. The Holy Spirit leads prayer, directs prayer, strengthens prayer, brings great grace through prayer. I wonder, do we need to just pray for a stirring of the Spirit in our hearts and church? That is, praying for prayer. Praying for prayer. A mighty work of the Spirit. Send down your light. Send down your truth, O God, which brings us to prayer. One final thing is from John Bunyan, who lived in the 16th century. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and this is how he describes prayer. This is a good definition for us to end on this morning. Prayer is a sincere, affectionate pouring out of the soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Spirit for such things God has promised through the merits and grace of Jesus Christ by the strengthening assistance of the Spirit as we pray according to the Word of God, to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit, according to the Scripture. That's prayer. Then he goes on to say, prayer opens the heart to God, and it is the means by which the soul, though empty, is filled with God's grace. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you.